Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hello, hello, and welcome once again. It's that time of the week where we get to chat with matters pertaining to health. And this week is slightly different, but not really, because, I mean, we've had a couple of doctors who sit on the advisory panel at Wellbeings Africa Medical. And they, you know, always come through and have these chats with us. I think this week is no different to that, because we do have a brand new doctor. Now, this week, we're in the midst of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, actually this whole month. And a good time to talk more about breast cancer screening, risk factors, and how to manage diagnosis. Hey, what better time than now? And joining me this afternoon from Wellbeings Africa Medical Advisory Panel is Dr. Relebogile Francisco. Dr. Francisco, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. And yeah, I'm excited to be on the show today.
Absolutely love it, I must say. Now, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, like I said earlier on. Can you start by telling us why this month is so important, Dr. Francisco?
Well, this month is very special, very important, because it brings awareness to breast cancer, like we said. And breast cancer is very important because we've seen that there's an increased incidence mm-hmm. of breast cancer among women in South Africa. And breast cancer is the most common cancer amongst women across racial lines, across ethnic groups. And many of the women who present come in late stages where sure. not much can be done curatively for them. Yeah, so that's why it's quite important.
Speaking of late coming, recently I was very impressed. I saw someone, I think on Facebook, a story of a lady whose mom was undergoing chemo. And apparently, I think she flies to Durban and she lives in Joburg. She flies there every time her mom goes for her chemo sessions. And she said, look, she had gone for her regular checks. But weird enough, that evening before she went to be with her mom, that same day she had her tests, she says, I spot a weird lump on my breast. And she says, immediately I'm like, oh, and she gets her partner to check it, because apparently he's a doctor as well. And she was like, look, mm-hmm. I couldn't cancel my mom's chemo appointment, but I actually prepared myself that I'd speak to her doctor to just check it for me, just to be sure. And I thought to myself, hey, we're learning, and I think we're becoming more open-minded with such things, because someone else would have said, it's nothing, or they would have been very scared because, hey, their mom already has cancer or something.
I'm actually so impressed with that lady, because not many people would even check themselves. I guess because she has her parent who has breast cancer, that maybe she knows to check herself. Mm. But I'm quite impressed with her to know how to check, when to check, and what to do once you find something.
Quite interesting, I must say, because you mentioned something, how to check. That one's not a very easy one, I must say. Now, tell me, Dr. Francisco, how common is breast cancer in our country, and who's most at risk?
Breast cancer makes up over 25 to 30% of all cancers diagnosed in women in South Africa, and it makes up almost 15% of all new cancers diagnosed in South Africa. So that is quite a lot of cancers if you look at the entire array of cancers available. And risk factors depend, there's a lot of things we look at according to risk factors. Risk factors depend on one's age. So if you're above the age of 50 years old, you're at an increased risk of developing breast cancer. And if we look at South Africa compared to the global statistics, we find that in South Africa, breast cancer is diagnosed in younger women than global statistics. Mm. Other risk factors are a family history of breast cancer. And if you have the inherited gene of BRCA, that's a gene that if you inherit this gene from your parents, mother or father, you are almost at an 80% chance risk of developing breast cancer in your lifetime. Other risk factors are hormonal. They can also be lifestyle or environmental risk factors. And your access to healthcare is a risk factor. It's a risk factor because you may have delayed screening, lack of access to mammograms or ultrasounds. There's many that we can talk about.
Yeah. Now, tell me, are there things that we can then do in our daily life to reduce our risks?
So when we look at our risk factors, there are modifiable risk factors and non-modifiable. So if we look at our family history, there's nothing much we can do about that. Maybe to screen better and screen more. Our age, there's not really much we can do about aging and becoming older. But what we can do is monitor and keep track of our diet. So to eat more whole foods, lean proteins, and reduce the amount of processed meats and high in fat and sugar food that we eat. What also helps is to increase your exercise, to maintain a healthy weight, to limit the amount of alcohol that we take, to completely stop smoking if you already are, and to consider reproductive choices. So I speak about the reproductive choices because we know that exposure to hormones is a major contributing factor or risk factor for breast cancer.
Okay.
So women who start their menses before 12 years old, or if you reach menopause after the age of 55, that puts you at an increased risk of breast cancer. But another thing that we found that can cause an increased risk is if a woman decides not to have children at all,
okay,
or if they have their first child after the age of 30, and if you have a long-term use of hormonal therapy, that's from contraceptive or hormone therapy that's used for menopause. Obviously, we can't advise for people to have children or to have them earlier, but that's something that you might consider personally.
Very interesting, I must say. Now, you spoke of family history earlier on. Tell me, does family history always mean that someone will actually get breast cancer?
No, not at all. It doesn't tell us that you will definitely have develop breast cancer. It just tells us that you will have an increased risk and likelihood of developing breast cancer. What we found is that people who have the BRCA gene mutation, they are the ones who will almost definitely develop breast cancer. And for those people, there are preventative steps that they can take. I spoke about early screening. And I don't know if people know Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
When she was younger, almost 10 years ago, I think, she found out that she has the BRCA mutation in her family, and she also has that mutation. So she decided, for preventative and to be safe, she decided to have a double mastectomy and to remove her ovaries just to be safe.
Oh,
because
wow.
That's how risky it is.
Sure. Now, when should someone start getting screened, and how often should this happen?
There are four types of screening that I'll talk about. The first one is the self-risk examination. It's the examination that you do on yourself. You do it monthly at the same time of the month, every single month. So for that, you examine your breast, your entire breast, your nipple, the skin changes, and you even go up to the armpit just to make sure you don't miss anything. This one is important because it empowers you to notice any small changes and to be more comfortable and familiar with your body.
The second is a clinical breast exam. This is the one you do as soon as you turn 20 and every year since from that time. It's a clinical breast exam that's done by a doctor or nurse. It can be done at a clinic, at a GP practice, or in mobile units that offer that service. Next is the mammogram. This is the one everyone knows about. A mammogram is almost like an X-ray. It has very little radiation that goes into your breast. It just looks at all the tissue breasts, the tissues in your breast. It's done from the time you are about 40 years old and done annually from that time. It can be done earlier if you have a family risk of breast cancer or the other high-risk features that we spoke about. We sometimes do ultrasound for younger women younger than the age of 35, because the younger you are, your breast is more dense, mm-hmm. and sometimes some very small changes can be missed on mammogram if you have highly dense breasts. There's also an MRI. It's not done all the time, but it can be done for very, very high-risk patients. These are patients who have the BRCA mutation.
Hmm. That's interesting, I must say, because I'm like, how do you know you've got the BRCA mutation? What are the chances of Luko just randomly knowing whether or not she has it?
So you wouldn't know that you have it. It's something done by a genetic counselor. The people who would know this is if, for example, you have a family member that has had breast cancer. So in South Africa, if you have breast cancer, then a genetic counselor and genetic test will be done for you. So if you are found positive to have this mutation, then they will do tests, or they'll recommend counseling or testing for your immediate family members. Often, if a male patient presents with or is diagnosed with breast cancer, then it's almost definite that they will have this BRCA mutation.
Oh, very interesting. Now, what should someone do if they find a lump or even notice a change in their breast?
Okay, the first thing to do is to stay calm, because not all lumps are cancer, honestly. Just stay calm. Not all lumps are cancer. It can be a cyst or it can be normal hormonal changes. Stay calm. It's serious, but stay calm. And then the next two is to schedule an appointment with a healthcare provider, a doctor, I will say. Don't wait. Don't hope it will go away. Set that appointment and make sure to follow and go to the appointment. Once you make the appointment, how do you prepare for it? First, you can make even a note on your phone just to say, this is when I first noticed it. This is the size. This is the shape. This is how it feels. Is it painful? How is the skin around it? And how does my nipple look? And then just keep a small note of your family history, who's had what in your family, and a list of any medications that you take, especially if you're on any type of hormone replacement or contraceptive. And then when you go to the doctor or nurse, they will do the clinical breast exam and refer you appropriately.
Oh, now tell me, doctor, are there like a lot of myths about breast cancer? And what are the biggest misconceptions that you hear?
So the biggest would be that only older women develop breast cancer. Mm. That is not true. I said at the start of our interview that in South Africa, which is contradictory to global statistics, we are finding that younger and younger and younger women are developing breast cancer, and we are having some of the most atypical presentation. I can tell you that in my practice, I've referred women as young as 26, 27 with what looks like breast cancer. And then another myth is that if it's not painful, then I shouldn't be worried about it. Often a small lump starts as not painful, and as soon as you develop pain, it might be quite advanced at that time. Another myth I can say, some people believe that if it doesn't, if there's no history of cancer in my family, then I am safe. You could be the first one in your family to develop this. Another is that a lump. Some people believe if there's no lump, then I don't have cancer, or a lump equals cancer. Sometimes breast cancer can develop as small as skin changes over your breast, or funny discomfort or pain around your breast without a lump. So not we don't say a lump equals cancer. Sometimes it can just be pain or discomfort or changes around your nipple or skin that can give us a clue about cancer. And then another one that I've been hearing that I hope none of our viewers, I hope to dispel this for all of our viewers, is that mammograms cause cancer. Oh. Mammograms do not cause cancer. Mammograms radiate a very small amount of radiation to your breast. That's not significant enough to cause cancer. So that's the biggest one. Oh, another one is that men don't get cancer. Men do get cancer. They're small population, but they do.
Oh, here's another myth I'm bringing to you. You can dispel this one if you need to as well. There's always these microwaves we're using, especially as women, you know, if it's at our breast length, we're likely to get cancer because we're using these microwaves. How true is that?
For that, there's no study that proves that microwave radiation 100% causes cancer. That's not something that's been proven, so I'd 100% like to dispel that. Please, microwaves are not proven to cause cancer.
So if someone is diagnosed, doctor, what treatment options are typically available?
That's a good question. So there are a lot. There's a lot of treatment options. And so when someone develops breast cancer and we are on the journey of treatment, you are not treated by one single person.
Oh.
So you're not given one doctor and that's who's going to take you through the entire journey. We work in what we call a multidisciplinary team and involves a lot of people who make sure that you go through it as safe and as comfortable as possible. So the treatment options are, number one, surgery. Surgery is either by breast conserving or mastectomy. Mastectomy is when the entire breast is removed. Mm-hmm. This is when the cancer is actually too big to try to conserve your breast. Mm-hmm. The breast conserving surgery is when maybe the breast lump is something small, like 1 to 2 centimeters, that can be removed, and then the cosmetic appearance of your breast will remain intact. And then the lymph node removals is part of the surgery as well. There's also chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is done either before the surgery to reduce the size of the lump. It's done after or in advanced stages. When it's done after, it's done to make sure that all the cancer cells are completely removed using those drugs. There's radiation as well. It can be done after to reduce the recurrence of the cancer. And then you can also have what we call hormone therapy. So hormone therapy is done once we know the personality of the cancer. Mm. So this hormone therapy is estrogen or progesterone dependent. This will depend on the personality. And then there's also targeted therapy. Targeted therapy also depends on the personality of the cancer, and this targeted therapy is given to target the specific cancer cells. And the last is immunotherapy, that also depends on the personality of the cancer.
Very interesting. Now, what is the one message, Doc, that you want listeners to take away this Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Okay, I have two.
Okay.
Number one is know your body. Be familiar with your body. Look in the mirror. Feel your breasts. Know what your breasts look and feel like. And number two is that early detection saves lives. The earlier you detect the cancer, the longer your life will be, and the less complications you will have from the cancer. So early detection saves lives, and know your body. That's the most important thing.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Francisco. That was really, really insightful. Now, you can find more health information, articles, tips, videos on wellbeingsafrica.com. And all the content is there, absolutely free to read, easy to understand. And Wellbeings Africa, of course, is here to help you on your health journey.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.